Please stand by. Hello, everyone. Thank you very much for holding, and welcome to the IBM DB2 Contingency Planning Conference Call. Just a reminder that the call is being recorded. For opening remarks and introductions, I'd like to turn things over to Diane McCollum. Please go ahead, Diane.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Diane McCollum, and I am the Worldwide Product Manager for DB2, DB2, and IMS Tools. Welcome today to Accidents Happen. Are you prepared when bad things happen to DB2? Our speaker today is Doug Clifton, who is a certified consulting Z-Series DB2 Tools Software IT Specialist, and we're very excited to have Doug today. A hard copy of the presentation was sent to you, and we will reserve all questions till the end when we will have open line. So with that, I would now like to turn it over to Doug. Doug?
Good day, everybody. If we can go ahead to page 2, which contains our agenda, please. I want to give everybody an idea of what the objectives of this call are. We're calling this contingency planning because this is not really dealing with disaster recovery type of planning that many shops are involved in several times a year. The idea of this particular presentation is to show how particular IBM DB2 tools for Z-Series can be used in those situations where it may cost your company a lot of money if you cannot get your data back online or get a particular situation resolved in a minimal amount of time. So these particular scenarios I'm going to run through today, as you can see on the agenda, I've got 4 different scenarios. They're based on real-life experiences that I've been through over the years when I was DBA, systems programmer, and also as working in my current position at IBM. So I've seen quite a few things where just small things happen, lose a table space or have bad changes made to data or situations like that where it may take you a lot of time to determine what happened, make a plan to resolve it, and then actually do the work to resolve it. And I'm going to show you how you can use these IBM DB2 tools to be able to do the analysis, be able to create the resolution planning, and then be able to actually perform the recovery, if you will, if it recovery is necessary in that particular point in time. So the whole idea of contingency planning is to have the tools in place, be able to practice with the tools, and that way you're prepared for different types of situations that may come up in a daily basis or a weekly basis or however that may happen to you. So in our first case, if we'll go to slide 3, please, is really making sure that you've tested these particular plans, contingency planning. What happens when we lose a particular table? Have we identified our critical applications? In other words, do we know which applications are going to cost us money if that application is down for any length of time? For example, when I was a DBA, I had applications where we were accepting orders from independent vendors, and if our system went down, those vendors would call another company for their product, and we'd lose tens of thousands of dollars per minute because that system was down. So we had to test plans to just make sure that just small glitches we could resolve in a very timely manner. And another thing to consider is the responsibility that you have to protect the data for your company. You know, have you practiced with your tools if you have similar type of tools, or do you have the plans in place so that you can help protect that data? You're really the gatekeepers to this critical data for your company. So we're going to look at some of the solutions to particular situations where our reputation as DB2 DBAs or systems programmers may be on the line, but it's not a full disaster recovery. You know, we practice those on a regular basis. Now, as we go through this, let's go to the next slide, 4, please, where I'm calling it the case of the fried squirrel. We're going to have a little bit of fun with the lead-in to these particular scenarios, and I'll give you some background on each one and then show you how I've used particular tools to be able to resolve that situation. If you're familiar with the film genre of film noir, in the way that they lead into scenes and the talking aside and that type of thing. You may even enjoy some of our slides. Let's go to page 5, please, where we're going to talk about the case of the fried squirrel. This is something that happened to me on a regular basis when I was a DBA and systems programmer way back when. Our shop was set up near a small substation, electrical substation, and invariably, several times a year, a squirrel would get in there and try to cross the power lines and short it out. Well, our shop didn't have any backup power. We didn't have any battery backup. We didn't have any generators, and so we'd lose power and then eventually come back on. And invariably, 2 weeks after that particular incident, we would lose one of our hard drive assemblies. And it was always a roll of the dice to determine which one of the units was going to go down on us. Well, I knew that I had to be prepared for this particular situation, and then as these situations would arise, I knew I had very possibly would lose a DB2 table space or a page set of some type. Let's go to the next page, please. I'm not going to bore you with all the details of this, but let's just say that in this particular case, I did lose one of my table spaces, and I had to be able to recover it. And in this particular case, it was only costing us about $2,000 a minute. Let's go to page 7, please. Now, the first thing I knew was that because of the way that we tracked our DASD, that I had a particular table space on that disk drive that had gone down. So what I am using here is I'm going to go into the DB2 administration tool, and I'm going to bring up my table space so that I can see that, yeah, there's my table space. Now, make sure that the status that it's in, physical status, in other words. So you can see where I have it highlighted in the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. I've got a circle. I've got a line command called SM. What I'm going to do is I'm going to invoke Space Manager from IBM's DB2 administration tool and look at the physical attributes of this particular table space. If we go to page 8, please, here you can see that I'm looking at the DB2 administration tool, Space Manager. I'm looking at my page set statistics. Down in the bottom right-hand side, bottom right-hand corner of this screenshot, you'll see that it says not in catalog. What we had done was we went ahead and deleted the VCM data sets, no scratch, since they didn't exist. So on the left-hand side at the bottom, you'll see where I'm keying in a UT against my page set. So I'm going to invoke the processing to start generating utility JCL to get into a recovery type of mode for this page set. As we go to page 9, after I hit enter with the UT, you'll see that I get my table space utility panel so I can choose which utility that I want. At the top on my option line where I have the circle, you'll see that I have the command VC, which is to invoke recover to copy. And then down in the middle bottom portion of the screenshot, you'll see that I also have specified that I want to review and change the utility options for the recover to copy. And if I need to do some other type of recover here, I could do that as well, like recover to RBA or recover log only or whatever I may need. Now, as I hit enter and go to the next slide on page 10, you'll see that I have a list of my recovery points, and I got lucky in this particular situation that I had one full image copy available to me. In a shop where you have regular backups and quiesces and that type of thing, you'd actually see a much longer list here. I just got fortunate that I happen to have one full image copy, or we would have been possibly using the log analysis tool to rebuild the whole table. And so I bring up my list of my image copies, and then on the bottom left-hand corner of this panel, you'll see I have a line command called RT, recover to copy. What I'm asking the DB2 administration tool to do is build the recover JCL for me using this particular image copy as input to my recover. And I hit enter. We go to page 11. And now, remember a couple of panels before, I said that I wanted to modify my recovered copy options. So here, I have specified that I do not want to reuse the physical space. Remember, the space is gone. We had deleted it, no scratch. And the tool has plugged in the middle of the panel, the name of my recovery data set. Okay, so I've got the name of my image copy plugged in automatically for me. I hit enter, and we go to the next slide, page 12. And I just verify the JCL and submit it. JCL is built nice and cleanly for me. I've got my recovered copy built. I've got my rebuild index all for that particular table space. Okay. On page 13, the next slide, we submit it. We verify the recover completion. I didn't print off the whole recovery screen here for you, the whole sysout. I just wanted to show you that I did verify the recovery was complete. I do have some objects in check pending, and I just went ahead and cleaned that up off to the side. And page 14, go back to Space Manager. I refresh my panel, and now I can see that my page set is back on DASD. I have recovered the page set to Volseer DMP-D06. You can see that Volseer circled in the bottom right-hand corner of the panel. Now, we have to get to the point where I can recover any changes that had been made since that image copy was done. So if we go to the next slide, page 15, I'm going to create redo SQL using the DB2 log analysis tool for Z-Series. And here, this particular panel, we start off by specifying what are we attempting to do. In other words, I want to generate redo SQL. So on the panel, you can see as we go down below the command line on generate details, I've got yes. The miscellaneous flags to the right that where I have it circled to a P, I'm telling the tool that we have a partial recovery point. Remember when I did the recover to copy? That gives me a partial recovery point, so I have to tell the tool we're going to have to work with this. The log range. I also knew when my image copy was created, and of course I knew when it went down, so I can limit the amount of log data that I'm going to look at in order to generate the redo SQL. In this particular case, I'm going from October 25th at 8 a.m. to October 25th at 5 p.m. And that way, I don't have to look at all of my different logs. I don't have to look at my archive logs in order to recover. Towards the bottom of this particular page, you see that I have filters for log data. I'm telling the tool that I want to look at updates, inserts, deletes, any rollbacks that may have occurred, because if there is a rollback in the middle of this data, I want to make sure that I duplicate everything that's happened since my image copy. I've also specified object filters with an option of M, which means that I'm going to just include my particular page set. In other words, I'm going to look for a particular table. And we can see that when we go to the next slide, 16. Or I'm sorry, we'll see that in a minute. When I specify generate details, this allows me to say that I want to generate redo SQL. The redo SQL, if an insert was done, I'll recreate the insert. If an update was done, I'll recreate that update. If a delete was done, I'll recreate that delete. So that's what we're attempting to do. Okay? So I specify yes for redo, I hit enter, go to the next slide, and now we get to the object name filters. And here, it was a simple table space, so I can specify just my table name. I could have also specified that I wanted to redo for at the table space, or yes, at the table space level. So if it was segmented table space and I had had multiple tables in the table space, then I'd make sure I could recover them. And so I specify my department table, and you notice that above there that I had two table spaces that I'm excluding. I always do those excludes just to keep them out of my way. Okay, if we go to the next slide, 18, what I've done is I hit enter after I specified my table name, and then here I get my JCL to submit to start the log capture, essentially, and then generate the redo SQL. So I submit the JCL. We go to the next slide, 19, verify the successful completion of this particular run. Here you will see that on committed activity for my table, DBA105.department, I had one update, one insert, and one delete. And you also see I had counters for my table space and database at the same time. At the bottom half of the panel, you'll see that I'm also looking for any referential integrity actions that may have occurred. Total updates, inserts, deletes was just one. I didn't have any referential intact actions occur. Okay, so I verify that. We go to the next slide, page 20. I look at my redo SQL. And again, I did not show all the redo SQL because remember we had an insert, update, and delete in this particular instance. At the very beginning of my redo SQL, you'll see that I have my insert, so I can redo that. At then on line 14 on this screen, you'll see that I have a redo update. It also shows me my unit of recovery ID. And then there's the beginning of the update. So now I know I have my SQL to bring my table up to date. We go to the next slide. At the log analysis tool menu, now if you don't have a job or if you don't want to use Spoofy to be able to execute the SQL, log analysis tool can actually generate a program to redo that SQL for you, or you can just go ahead and execute the dynamic SQL in batch. We'll generate JCL to make that happen for you. And so now we go to page 22. Now, the moral of this particular story is that without the DB2 administration tool and log analysis tool, it's very possible I could have been in for a long weekend just trying to build the JCL, go through all the different catalog tables, reviewing my BSAM catalog to make sure is the object exist, does it not exist on DASD, and just gathering the information like that. And then also having to code things like the recover to copy, and then code the recover to a particular log point. And that would have kept my object down for a much longer period of time. So with the tools, it really allowed me to just be able to do this type of work in a very short period of time. In this particular instance, it only took about 10 minutes to generate all that JCL, walk through those different panels, verify the syntax, and submit it. And another thing we found out, that squirrels are a lot more trouble than they're worth. And if we go to the next slide, please. In this particular scenario, A stands for aquarium. And let's go to the next slide. We should be on slide 24 now. Now, in this particular situation, one of the only times I've ever seen anything like this happen, we had a cartridge silo that was up and running. It was relatively new for our company, and they had located it directly below an air conditioning vent to keep things nice and cool, you know, because equipment does get pretty hot. Well, unfortunately, that particular vent in the data center also happened to be directly below a roof opening. And when we started getting this heavy rain there in Dallas, there was a real bad leak in that roof opening, and everything, water just gushed through that vent directly into the silo. We actually had a couple of feet of water standing in that silo at the time. So also found out that a lot of my image copies happened to be in the water, so they were nice and soaked as well. If we go to page 25, please. Now, as far as trying to get my image copies back, you know, because it's all about contingency planning, make sure that we can recover. And we had a mix of development, test, production, and it was a matter of being able to go through and making sure that I had image copies for everything, just in case. Maybe we'd lose another hard drive or something like that. So we just wanted to make sure we had all the image copies available. Rather than me working all weekend to verify JCL, submit JCL, run through it, make sure that I had all the objects that I needed, I'm going to show you how a particular tool helped me be able to make sure that I had every image copy I needed in case I had to go through some type of recovery process. We'll go to page 26, please. Now, as far as going through and resolving this, I knew I had to get my image copies back, and then I looked at the different tools I had available to me that would really be the best fit. The administration tool is a very good tool for being able to generate utility JCL on the fly, but it, you still have to be walk through the panels to be aware of, okay, here's my particular objects. Let's generate image copy JCL against that list of objects and that type of thing. I wanted something a little more automated, to do its own discovery, to be able to determine what objects exist, do image copies exist, and if not, let's go ahead and create them. And so I looked at the object restore tool, and that wasn't really an option for me because object restore is really designed to recreate dropped objects and then make sure they get back online with the data you need to get it online again. So the dropped objects wasn't something I needed either. And then I looked at the automation tool and decided that's the one that's really going to help me be able to determine what objects exist and let's create image copies for them. So if we go to page 27, please, I go into automation tool, and then the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to start by telling the tool what objects do I want it to look at. In this particular case, you'll see that I'm creating what's called an object profile. Automation tool works off of different profiles, objects, utilities, exceptions, and jobs. So I'm going to start off by defining a profile for my DBA 105 databases. In other words, I want everything in all my DBA 105 databases. I gave it a description. The update option just says I'm going to allow other people to update it. And then I can also put a name, a different name in there for the creator of this particular profile. If we go to page 28, and I get a pop-up that says, what do I want to add to this particular profile? We can add indexes, we can add volumes, we can add table spaces. Now, if you notice the volumes right there, say if I had some type of DASD problem or if I had objects on a volume that I wanted to make get backed up, I just specify the volume name, and the tool will do the discovery. But in this case, I knew I just wanted to work with all my databases in my entire enterprise. So I specify yes for table space, hit enter, we go to page 29, and now it's, the tool asks me, automation tool asks me, what objects within the table spaces do you want? So in this particular case, I'm telling it, give me all my table spaces. You see I have an asterisk there. Same thing with the creator. I'm not going to process dependent indexes because all I want is image copies in this case. So at the bottom that I have highlighted with the circle, you'll see I have database like DBA 105 asterisk, and I'm telling the tool to wildcard. So I have multiple databases that start with DBA 105. If we hit enter and go to the next slide, slide 30, in this particular case, you see a line entry about halfway down the screenshot. On the left-hand side, you'll see I have a command line. I've got a type, a table space. I am wildcarding with a yes. Okay. I about the middle on that line, it says INC for include. Okay. I've got an asterisk for my table space. Database is DBA 105 asterisk. And then on the very far right-hand side of that line in the middle, you can see that it says part all. I'm also telling it that I want to work with partition spaces as a single. I'm not going to have image copy each partition individually. And so I'm happy with this. I PF3 to save it. And then the next thing I have to do is generate my utility profile. Now, we already know that I'm attempting to create image copies for all of my table spaces within all of my databases. So I come into my utility profiles. I select my image copy. You can see I have halfway down the screen, include in profile, yes, in the middle. And then on the right-hand side, I've got update utility options of yes. And I hit enter. And the first thing the tool will bring to me is, what are we attempting to do with the image copies? And so as we go down the different options, like I said, the first one is exception rules. And as I mentioned earlier, automation tool can generate utilities based on exceptions. In this particular case, I'm not going to worry about it. We're generating image copies for everything, no matter what status it is. Image copy utility mode, we have D for DB2. We're just going to do the standard DB2 image copy versus using hardware snapshots or something like that. On the next line, I have alter image copy data set name specs. I've specified yes because I want to have a specific naming to my image copy data sets. You can see that I have specified I want to perform my image copies in parallel. Okay. Number of objects, the zero just says it's unlimited objects, and I'm going to limit the number of cartridge units I'm going to use to 3. So I'll be doing 3 copies in parallel at a time. And about two-thirds of the way down this panel, you'll see that for full image copy, I specified a yes. That I just want to make sure everything is completely copied. So I hit enter on this panel. We go to page 33, and now it's asking, automation tool asks, what type of copy do we want to do? In this particular situation, I just want to recover my local primary copies. So I specified a yes for take image copy, and then a yes for view update the options. I hit enter here. And I get into some of the options about where do we want the image copies to go to. In this particular case, I want to have a unit type of cart 1. Because remember, my silo is gone, so I can't use just the standard unit type of cartridge. And I do want my image copies to be cataloged. If needed, I could have gone to DASD and then set a threshold that if a particular space was too large, then generate it to cartridge as well. In that this case, we do not need it. I just need to have all my image copies on cartridge. So I hit enter, and now I can specify the template for my image copy, the image copy name. I just specify one of the codes or specify literals as I need to. In this particular case, about a third of the way down on the screen on the right-hand side, you'll see that I've got ampersand UID for user ID, ampersand database, ampersand space name, and then a GDG. So when the tool generates the JCL for me, it's going to generate those names the way I want them named. In other words, we'll use the proper GDGs and make sure that I've got everything named properly. After I've finished specifying whatever these options, or if I need to include another one, I can just choose one of the options below. One of them, if I wanted to, I could even include a random number. You'll see that at the middle bottom portion of this particular screenshot. And I hit enter. Go to the next panel, and now it's time to generate the job profile. The job profile defines what object profiles, what utility profiles we'll be using in this particular case. In this case, because I've wildcarded all my objects together, I only need one object profile. And I could have had profiles already existing for my different objects or my different applications or however I group things in my shop so that it would be laid out properly to be able to automatically pick up changes to those applications or those groupings of objects. But so I don't need to specify any more than the one. I've already got everything included. My next profile specified within the job profile was my utility profile, which is that image copy we just created. If I was in a situation where I had to do maybe a reorg and then copy, I could have multiple utility profiles here as well. So after I choose my two profiles, my object and my utility, add them to this job profile, I hit enter, and we go to the next panel. And what happened was I did what's called a build on that job profile, gave me a piece of JCL that I submitted, and then that JCL looked at all the DB2 objects that existed in DBA 105 asterisk with the wild cards. I submitted that, and it created the image copy JCL for me. I also told it I wanted to use the templates and listfs to build this particular job. So this is a partial look at the JCL or the PARMs that were created for me. You can see from line 141 to 144, there's some includes that went into the list depth. And then starting at line 146, it just says copy that list. It's giving the copy DDN. We're doing a full, and there's my reference to the parallel and the number of tape units as well. And if we go to page 38, now, in this particular situation, even though I had image copy JCL existing, like I said, this was a situation where I had a lot of different environments that had to be image copied. I had to make sure that I got everything. And with new objects coming in, objects going away, if I just submitted my standard image copy JCL, it's very possible I could have missed an object or I could have had errors in it. It would have taken a long time to verify that JCL and make sure that I had everything image copied that I needed. Within just a few minutes of working with the automation tool, I was able to generate that image copy JCL to make sure that everything was image copied, it was cataloged to DB2, cataloged to NVS. Another thing I learned is make sure that when it's your anniversary evening, swap on call with somebody, because having to leave your anniversary dinner to go fix a problem like a soaked aquarium or a soaked silo, it didn't go over very well. If we go to page 39, we're going to start off with the mystery of the misguided money mover. And if we go to the next page, please, page 40. In this particular situation, I was the DBA and systems programmer, and in this particular case, applications had hired a contractor to come in to rewrite an application because they had lost the source code to their old application. This particular application controlled money movement between two different banking accounts. We had our accounts receivable go into one account. This application would pull all the money received into an interest-bearing account. So if the transfer was not done at the proper time, our company could lose tens of thousands of dollars in interest during the day. In this particular case, the application was rewritten into COBOL and DB2, and unfortunately, there was no way of backing out bad changes with this application. Whenever the user entered bad data, hit enter, started the transfer at the wrong time, it was a recovery situation. I had to recover all the tables plus the referential integrity and make sure everything was back to a particular point in time. Then the users would have to go through and re-enter their good data and then finally start the transfer. in this particular case, we went down again, and it was costing money because the user hit enter at the wrong time with the wrong data. We go to page 41. In this particular case, I'm going to show you how one tool was able to help me recover from these situations without having to go through a full-blown recovery every time this occurred. So we're going to use strictly the log analysis tool in this particular situation to undo the bad changes, to get the users back to that point in time where they could enter the right data, hit enter, and get the transfer started at the proper time. Let's go to slide 42, please. As I mentioned earlier about log analysis tool, is that I know my general time range in this particular case. I don't know exactly when the user entered the bad data. I do know when they hit enter or started the transfer, though. So I had a time range of when the bad data was entered in this particular case. I specify that we're going to start at 1300 hours and range through just before midnight of that day to determine when was the bad data entered. At the bottom third of the screen, again, I'm going to use my object filters. I'm going to specify a particular name so that I don't have to run through all of the DB2 logs, all of the log records that would be there to determine what do I need to undo. Also in this particular case, if we go to slide 43, you'll see that I'm looking at a particular database because in this particular situation, it was multiple table spaces and multiple tables, you know, because of the referential integrity that was built between these 10 particular tables. So I specify my database. I'm using a wildcard for my table space name because I had one table per table space. And I'm also specifying that I wanted to include. I hit enter. We go to the next slide. In this particular case, I ran what's called just the general report. I did not want to run my detail. I did not want my undo at this time. What I'm trying to determine is what was the bad change? When was it done? So then I could really narrow down to a particular unit of recovery or something like that. In this particular case, you can see that there was activity to my database. In this one, I had several tables where I had a lot of inserts into these particular tables. And there's a particular table space, and then there's below this other table spaces, other tables, and so on. So if we go to the next slide, slide 45, I also wanted to know what referential activity occurred between these spaces. And here you can see, based on RI actions only, I had 23 updates to one table. I had deletes that occurred to other tables. So I've got quite a bit of activity going on in this space, and I've got to really be able to narrow down to a particular transaction to make sure that I undo just the correct one. And so we go to the next slide, 46. And I'm looking at my general report. We were looking at the summary report earlier. Now, in this particular case, I know that the correlation ID, DBA105WR, is a normal batch job that updates these particular tables. So with all the changes that were made, I know that this one does a lot of different changes. So if we go to page 47, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to my panel in Log Analysis Tool, and I'm going to say I want to exclude this particular job from my run. And that way, it makes the report easier to read. Now, I could have gone through that whole report and gone through all the different inserts, updates, deletes that occurred. But if I remove everything that happened from the batch job, it would make it easier to do my analysis. So I'm going to exclude DBA105WR. We go to the next slide, page 48. And now, I looked at my report. I had a lot fewer items or entries, inserts, updates, deletes to look at. And I did identify a particular unit of recovery ID. You'll see that's in the top left-hand corner of the screenshot. About a third of the way down on the right-hand side, you'll see that I have a correlation ID, a DBA-105. Bottom right-hand corner of the screenshot, you'll see the action count. I had a D, which says that's a delete, one delete. A URI, and that's update referentially intact. I had 9. And then you can see there's deletes based on the RI as well. So, okay, I've got a suspect now that looks like it really impacted this particular processing. If we go to page 47, I generated what's called a detail report because I wanted to see the before and after type of images that occurred. I wanted to see exactly what was changed. So in the detail report on page 49 of the presentation, I'm going to look at start of the changed row. This is the first part, and then we'll look at the second part in just a minute. On the left-hand side, you'll see I have an action of delete. The right-hand side, you'll see that I have my unit of recovery ID. The reason why I'm using unit of recovery ID is because of all the RI. I want to make sure that everything is referentially intact when I get finished with the undo. If we go to page 50, now I want to see what was changed. So in this particular report for log analysis tool, the detail report, what I do is I look for columns that have a pound sign appended or as a suffix to the column name. And that will signify that a particular column was modified. In this particular case, somebody had gone through, or DBA 105 went through, and changed the to null, and that was essentially what caused all our problems. We went through, that caused problems with the transfer. So now I have to undo this particular situation. So if we go to the next slide, page 51, as I was going through this report, and something like this really happened to me one time. I was looking at a log tool. We're going through before and after looking for a specific change like that, and all of a sudden something popped up in the log, and I just wanted to point this out to you real quick. This is not really a recovery, but where it's actually an auditing type of issue, where we were able to identify, you can see a correlation ID on the right-hand side, SIS256, actually made a modification to a table that they should not have been looking at or touching. So in this particular situation, we go to the next slide, page 52. I went through, looked at it. I was able to determine that somebody was playing around with the salary information. You can see in the bottom right-hand corner that there's a pound sign on the salary. And so I know that that auth ID should not even be able to see that salary information. So if we go to the next slide, page 3, or page 53, this is really a case for the auditors and proper management because it has nothing to do with our contingency planning, but it just shows how powerful this tool is. Not only are we going to undo those bad changes, but we did catch other changes that should not have been occurring. Okay, page 54. Okay, now back to the job at hand, undo the bad changes. We're going to use the detail reporting panel now. We know what we want to undo. So in this particular case, about a third of the way down on the right-hand side, you can see I'm going to generate undo SQL of yes. We go down to the bottom half of the panel, and you see I've got a field called URID, Unit of Recovery ID. That's why I wanted to point that out. Because of all the RI changes that were made from that one change, I want to make sure that that whole unit of recovery is undone. we go to page 55. I generate my JCL. I submit it, and it generates the undo SQL for me. So at the top of the panel, you'll see my I have highlighted undo delete, which is the first transaction to occur. There's the unit of recovery ID, the date and time. And this is, since it was a delete, we're now creating an insert. At the bottom of this screenshot, you will see that I have an undo update RI. Okay, that's going to be the second thing to occur when I submit this SQL to actually execute. And we go to page 56. Just a little bit more of that update for you. We fully qualify the updates, now, just in case it doesn't have a unique index or something like that, so that we can make sure that we're actually updating the correct row in the table. Now, and here you can see we've got it fully qualified where the predicate has each column qualified for you. And the rest of the undo SQL statements are below this particular statement in the same member. If we go to page 57, okay, the moral of the story, this could have really taken a long time. Either, you know, go through the recovery again, recover to copy and then recover to log points or whatever it may have taken. It can take quite a while. And plus with the RI, it makes it more difficult because you have to go through, make sure that you recover in the proper sequence or you're doing check data and all types of processes to get it back online again. Here, walking through those different panels, looking at my reports, it only took about 10 minutes to generate this JCL, review it, and then generate my undo SQL. Again, I could have used some programs with log analysis tool to execute the undo SQL. As I mentioned, we can generate a static program to execute it for you, or we have a dynamic program where you can just include the SQL as sysin, submit it, and be able to get everything back online again. So I was able to save the company thousands of dollars in for catching that one suspect update. Got a real nice coffee cut for that. I could have also used log analysis tool to back out the illegal changes if necessary, but at that particular point in time, like I said, that was for someone else to investigate, and that's not part of the contingency planning. Hey, let's go to slide 58, please. Now, this particular situation, despair of the drop-happy DBA, let's go to the next slide, page 59. We've got a lot of people trying to learn DB2 and C-Series, attend some classes, read a book, and they start going after it. In this particular case, I came back from a quick break, and all of a sudden the phone starts ringing, people are hollering. And it sounded like normal development day, but then, start hearing the words, it's not my fault type thing, and you're going, uh-oh. So that makes for a long day when things like that start happening. So we go to page 60. And what had happened was that Mr. DBA, in this particular case, had been showing off, dropped a particular table. And in this case, it was one of those situations where it was a main application table where a lot of application code is stored. Right? And with all the changes that had been made that morning in that application table, it would have been hours of recovery for applications. Even though we had image copies and that type of thing, they would have had to go back in and make a lot of manual changes to the code to be able to get it back to the way that it should be. And so now, what do we do to get this back online again? It's dropped. It's gone. So go to page 61. And, I wasn't really looking forward to having to try to work through this manually. So I have a tool that I knew would actually get me out of this particular situation, the DB2 Object Restore for ZOS. It's specifically designed for dropped objects. And so let's go to page 62. From the menu, you can see that I have a lot of different options about starting different restores or different recovers. I can look at doing object recovery alone, or I can redo my binds once I get my objects back online, or recover privileges. I can also specify if I need particular utilities created for recovered objects. In this particular case, hey, I want to recover a particular table space. I knew what had been dropped, so it's just a matter of what's it going to take to get this back online again. So on my option line at the top of the screen, I'm going to specify S for table space. We hit enter. We go to page 63, and I'm going to bring up a list of my different table spaces that were in database DBA105. About three lines down into the list of table spaces, you'll see I've highlighted a particular table space, and in the drop column, you can see that it says, yes, it's been dropped. So I have identified my particular object, and what we're going to do is we're going to select that object with a line command of S for select table space. We're going to hit enter, and we're going to generate recovery DDL. In the generated DDL, I've got a lot of comments so that I know which ones were included in here. So here we can see we've got a particular space. We've got table DBA105.department. You can see that I've got a message down here at the bottom that says the tables were selected for recovery that contain columns added by the alter table command. And a reorg was not detected. So in this particular case, we may have some issues with some table data not being accessible or something like that, but that's fine because I know what column that was, and I have other ways of being able to recover that data if necessary. So I'm going to go to page 65. Here you can see that I've got my create table space, so I'm going to recreate my table space that was dropped. Go to page 66. Now, generate recovery job to file. Now, when we lose our table space, we lose our image copies at the same time. So, Object Restore, in addition to recovering the space for me, can also save that DDL and save the results of that execution to a PDS member so that I know what's there. Also, it's going to generate a piece of JCL for me that is going to identify the last image copy that was done for this space, and it's going to generate a DSM-1 copy with the proper translations for me. So I do not have to do that analysis. And that's what we're doing right here. We want the DSM-1 copy generated. We want the translations put in there so that I can submit this and run it without having to code my own JCL and identify what translations do I need to make. All of this information about the image copies and the DDL, that's all stored in the Object Restore repository. It's got its own set of tables where all this information is stored. Now, after I submit the DSM-1 copy to recover the data, then the next thing we have to do is bring that up to date. What changes were made to that space since that image copy? Object Restore has a interface to the DB2 log analysis tool. So I don't have to automatically go and calculate, well, when was the image copy done, and let me go over to log analysis tool and generate this work. I can generate the from and the to for log analysis tool, and the include for a specific object will be included in this file. And then I feed that to log analysis tool, and it generates the redo SQL for me. I don't have to go through the panels and do the determination myself. If we go to the next slide, page 68, this is just an example of the DSM1 copy that was done for me. In this particular JCL, you can see it's executing DSM1 copy, line 50. We've got the translations. In line 53, you can actually, and 52, you can see that there were differences there. So we know we're going to get everything back online again. We go to the next slide, page 69, and then I just submitted that piece of JCL to do the DSM1 copy with the translation. I went and submitted the JCL for log analysis tool. I applied my redo SQL statements to the product, or I'm sorry, to the tool, to the table, and then I was up and going. Applications was nice and happy, and Mr. DBA, the book learner, has chosen a new career as a pro bass fisherman. And let's go to the next slide, slide 70. And now, these different tools that we used in this contingency planning, the whole idea is to get familiar with the tools and be able to determine which tool can help me best. And each tool has very powerful resources built into it. So as you saw, I used a little bit of each tool to perform these different functions. DB2 administration tool to be able to manage some of the physical space I was working with. Remember, I used the space manager component of the administration tool to determine, did I have a physical space? No, it didn't exist. It wasn't in the VCM catalog anymore. So then I used the administration tool to generate a quick recovered copy, and then from that, I was able to use the log analysis tool to generate redo SQL to reapply changes that were made to that table, you know, from the image copy up to a current point in time. And then we looked at the log analysis tool. The log analysis tool is an extremely powerful tool. Not only were we using it for redo SQL to recover changes that we needed to have put back into the table, but we used it to generate undo SQL to back out bad changes. Now, I had 10 tables that I had to back out bad changes. They were all referentially intact, and so that really impacted what I could do without a tool. You know, recover it and do log recovery if necessary. But by being able to use undo SQL with the RI, unit of recovery ID, it handled all the relationships, made sure all that SQL was applied correctly to undo those changes. Another tool that we looked at was the automation tool. In this particular case, I just used it really to make sure that I had image copies for every object that existed in several different databases using wildcarding. The tool will also allow you to generate DB2 utilities based on exceptions, like generate reorgs based on extents or clustering ratio, or image copies based on when was the last full or incremental, or even if one exists. Extremely powerful tool. It also includes a data page editor, a physical space manager, so that you can actually pick up page sets and move them from one place to another. So, again, we were just focusing on how can this help us when we have recovery type of scenarios or contingencies where we need to get objects back online again. And then the DB2 object restore tool, that particular one, I just showed how to get a particular space that had been dropped back online again without having to do a lot of work. I had the DDL generated by the tool from its repository. I had the DSM1 copy with the translates, the JCL generated along with the translations for me. And then I had told the tool, go ahead and generate the information for log analysis. So log analysis could generate the redo SQL for me. If we go to the next slide, additional resources for you. These particular resources, one is DB2, of course. And then we have a DB2 tools website. And you can see the last note of that is DB2 IMS tools. Based on that website, you'll be able to find not only information about the tools, we have links to the library. Okay. So we've got the manuals online. You can find references to red books, white papers. There's a lot of very, very good reference material on this particular site. You can also find our support site off of this, so that things like how-tos are also based on that site. Okay. If we go to the next slide, please, page 72. Okay, your next steps. One will be here in a minute. We're going to open this up for questions. But another next step would be to contact your local IBM sales specialist. Make sure you visit us at the different conferences. We have our tools team at all the different conferences worldwide. That's IDUG, the DB2 technical conferences. Many of us go to local user groups to speak about DB2 and the tools and things like that as well. Another one, the hostess of this particular session, Diane McCollum, there's her contact information. And then if we go to page 73, in summary, proper planning prevents poor performance. The whole idea is that's one reason why we do DR testing all the time. Make sure that we have those tests down. But in those situations where you're in just where you've lost one small object, but it's going to cost your company money, have you practiced with those recovery tools? Rather than having to go to the manual to determine, well, what do I need in the administration tool to generate the recovery utility, or what do I need to do with log analysis tool to generate redo or undo SQL? Practice with it a little bit and determine which tools work best for you. And that's part of the risk management process. As applications are being defined, created, moved into production, what is the risk if that application goes down? What is the risk if you lose the data for that application? What's the mitigation? How do you get it back? And what about fault analysis? When a problem does occur, this is a lot of shops. Some shops, the fault analysis is more of the finger-pointing type thing, and that's not what I'm talking about. The fault analysis is where a group will sit down and actually determine what happened to this object, why did it happen, how did we fix it, and then what can we do to mitigate it in the future. And again, that's all part of the risk management. But fault analysis is more done after the fact and rather than finger-pointing. It's meant to be analytical. It's not meant to be something to punish somebody with. Also, incident management plan. I do know that companies have these in place. Things start going wrong. You lose an object or performance is going wrong. And there's teams in place that when these incidents occur, that there's a particular plan. This group will get online, or they'll call a central phone number to start the analysis of what's occurring and then actually kick in the risk management plan based on that incident management. So this is just little things to look at to be able to help make the contingency planning a little bit better, a little bit easier, so that when you're in a situation, you know where to go, use this tool, use that tool, rather than having to dig through the manuals to do that. Another place you can look at is look at the IBM DB2 tools for ZOS to help ease the pain. You saw how easy it was for me to walk through those panels to be able to get these recovery situations taken care of. And Diane, I think now would be a good time to open the line for questions.
I agree. Kevin. Could you do that, please?
Absolutely. At this time, if you have any questions, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star 1 if you'd like to ask any questions at this time. If you would, please make sure that your mute button is not engaged to make sure that your signal reaches our equipment. So again, star 1 for any questions. We'll pause for just a moment. No questions holding at the moment. Again, I'll remind you that it's star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. We have Steve Pratt online. Steve, go ahead. Your line's open.
Hi. I'm very curious. How does the object restore product know what I've dropped and what it looked like before I dropped it?
Hi, Steve. Object restore has a process. We call it an object restore utility, where you would submit this on a regular basis to read the catalog, and we populate the repository. And it communicates with the DB2 catalog, so if you do drop something on the DB2 side, Object Restore can pick that up and say, yes, that is dropped. And then when you select it to recover, it pulls copies of the DDL from its repository. It has a full list of all the image copies that are available to be able to generate the DSM-1 copy for you.
Thank you.
Again, no questions holding, but star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. Diane and Doug, no one else has signaled to this point.
Okay. Well, I think that means that we answered all their questions during our presentation. With that, I'd like to say thank you, everybody, for attending our teleconference today. If you should come up with any additional questions, please don't hesitate to contact me, and or if you'd like to speak to one of our technical sales specialists or sales specialists, also please feel free to contact me. With that, Doug, thank you very much for a great presentation, and thank you, our audience, for attending. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. That will conclude the conference call. Again, thank you all for joining. Have a good day.